Folks, we are talking to Erica Muse, writer and producer of the forthcoming project, The Other Side of Love. She is currently working on a Kickstarter campaign to fund this project that ends November 29th. We here at Black Is are full throttle behind her, wanting to make sure she gets support for this. So you all make sure you listen up and check all the links that are a part of this post so that you can go directly to the project after our conversation. I am certain you will want to donate some of your ducats to The Other Side of Love. How are you doing this morning, Erica?
I am doing really well. I'm actually in New York, and the weather is actually really good, so it is a good day.
Nice. So Erica and I were actually introduced to one another a few years ago when Erica was running a blog. Please do me a favor and remind me of the name of the blog.
It was Until I Get to You.
Until I Get to You. And I loved the premise of this blog because at that time, Erica was interviewing couples, finding out their decision making in terms of getting into relationships and maybe some of their quote unquote secrets for maintaining healthy relationships. And now for 2012, she's working on a project to be released in 2013 called The Other Side of Love, which is a film project that I'm going to let you talk about. I want to go into it based off of my enthusiasm, but you are the writer producer. So Erica, tell us about The Other Side of Love.
Well, from the two things that you talked about, my blog and now The Other Side of Love, you can obviously see there's a theme for me.
Yes.
I obviously love love. And more importantly, it's not necessarily that love itself, but the idea of what constitutes a relationship and more importantly, what makes a relationship. So out of that was birthed The Other Side of Love. And The Other Side of Love ideally is an ensemble piece about three different couples and how they kind of figure out and try to navigate their own boundaries, their own rules when it comes to love. Mm-hmm. And ideally for the whole piece, it's more about who we are individually actually kind of colors our relationships more than who the person we're in relation with does, if that makes any sense.
So, it does.
Side of love, our main relationship that we follow is between Charlie and Scott, and they're a married couple who have been married for about 10 years. They got married really early in their 20s, early 20s. And now, 10 years later, they've reached a slump in their relationship. And ideally what happens is they start to not really enjoy sex with each other and don't love each other. It's just that in some ways there's other things that are more important, like work is more important and work is more important, and sex will get to whenever they get to because they see each other all the time. And so when they get to that point in their relationship, Charlie's wife in the relationship, he, you know, starts to wonder, what if, you know, because she's done everything that she's done right. She's watching her friends who are just in their 30s now trying to figure out how to stay in relationship. Mm-hmm. And she spent the majority of her 20s, you know, in a marriage. So what if she had that moment to kind of screw everything up and have fun and so forth? But now in her life, everything's monotonous and makes sense. You know, she kind of figures out, what am I doing? Where am I? And why did I choose to do, quote unquote, everything right?
Mm-hmm. I love it. The idea of the open relationship, Erica, why do you think this is a conversation that people are starting to have now? Because if we look historically just over, if I'm focused on Black films and we're looking at relationship stories, we've had everything from, you know, the getting the groove back to single friends trying to find a man their own way to dealing with a man who's incarcerated.
Right.
We've even had conversations kind of on the peripheral about man sharing in the community.
Right.
The idea of the open relationship, why is this relevant to us now?
Well, it's funny because I don't know if it, quote unquote, is relevant per se. Mm-hmm. I think that it's something that we should look at and discuss. It's something that I have always been fascinated with because for me, and I think I'm fascinated by it because I don't know if I could do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the idea of jealousy and our ego, that drives us more than anything. And for me, I've always been fascinated on open relationships in a very romantic way. And I know that sounds insane, but the idea for me is that if you can, in some ways, I wish that I was capable of doing it. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm with someone and I am completely comfortable with the fact of them sleeping with somebody else and then coming back and still being in a relationship with me, you have to be completely, you have to know that person is yours.
Yeah.
Forever. And that it's to have that place or to get into that place in a relationship that you're so connected and so in tune with each other, no one else can break that, even if it's just for a night or a week or a month, no one can rock that, then I feel like I would love to be in that place emotionally with someone else. And I don't know if that's even possible because of jealousy, because of ego, because I think ideally, the person that we are with, we're with them in some ways because of what they serve us.
Mm-hmm.
Makes
mm-hmm.
it
absolutely.
They reflect back to who we are. So, yeah, it's a whole bunch of stuff.
And yeah,
I don't know if that makes any sense, but
no, it makes all the sense because there would have to be an exceptional level of trust for an open relationship to properly function, and it's. It's funny, I am reminded when I was a very young woman, before I was married, I had a conversation with a sister friend who was slightly older than I am. And throughout our conversation, she said to me, I realized for you that the bottom line is monogamy. And she said, for me, monogamy is not the bottom line. I feel, but she also operated from a mindset that all men cheat. Because she accepted that as her truth, monogamy as a final practice in a relationship for her was kind of out the window. As where for me, I was not at the point where I could consider that as an option in a relationship for me. And it's interesting, the longer I'm married, not saying that the more I see it as a reality, but I do recognize the amount of work and discipline right. it takes to remain monogamous in a long-term relationship. It's a challenge, and it's a challenge on both parts. I'm curious,
right.
the way you, right. yeah, the way you've structured this story, because our society so often puts the onus on this kind of thing on the men, as if yeah. some reason they have a weakness and don't have the ability to be faithful. But what I find as a married woman is that the challenge exists for me as well.
Right. Yeah.
You know, temptation is just as heavy. How do you play out that balance in your story?
Well, two things. First, my parents have been together over 30 years. I believe that they just celebrated their 36th or 37th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And so I believe when I look at marriage, I believe you're in it. And when you're in it, any you decide at that moment and that vow that you're going to take and you're going to work through whatever comes your way,
right?
So not a lot of people believe that, but it's okay, that's me marriage is, and that's what you decide, is that I'm with that person for better or for worse. And so I think in that idea is that you really don't know what's going to come your way, right? Because if I'm going to be with this person for over 30 years, 50 years, who knows what's going to show up? And I think that when I built the story, and specifically Charlie being the female and the one who has these thoughts and the ideals of where she believes her marriage should go, and Scott, the male, is the one who doesn't agree, but he... he's the one who says, I married you. I married you and I married everything that came with you. So if this is something that you believe is going to help you through whatever you're going, I signed up to go on that ride with you.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, if I think about it, I don't think I made a strategic decision to make the female be this way.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought of her character, if that makes any sense. And I thought about who she was as a woman, where she, her life. Mm-hmm. And she was the one who made sense to be the one who thinks about what if.
Right.
Then him being the rock solid one who's like, I decided I was down with you from the moment, and I've never wanted to be with anyone but you. But if, you know, I committed to you and I committed to this marriage, and ideally, and all that makes sense that he's saying I committed to you and I committed to this marriage, and or I'm going to have an open marriage. the crazy, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like every relationship has its own story, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And nobody can say, I think that's, to me, if there's a conversation to be had about relationships and what makes them work, is that nobody can say that there's absolutely one recipe for successful marriage. Couples make a lot of decisions between themselves as to what will make their marriage work.
Right. And mm-hmm. I think I realized, I'm thinking about all of the female characters in this piece. All of them are very strong women, and women who are, you know, quote unquote, kind of driving their course and driving who they are in their life. Mm-hmm. And I think that for a lot of women, and especially for me, I love romantic comedies, and I, you know, I love the idea of my Prince Charming showing up, and, you know, and now I'm in my early 30s and it hasn't happened the way that I was told it was going to happen, mm-hmm. and the way I wanted it to happen. So does that mean that it's bad? Does it mean that everything is hopeless? And I think regardless of the stories that we're told, what happens is life happens, and we have our own path, our own journey, that if it doesn't fit what we, A plus B equals C, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that it's our own path.
Right. You have a really impressive team that you've pulled together, including Billy Woodruff as the director. How did you assemble this team to participate on this project?
Well, you know, that's a process. This has been a, you know, a couple of years of a journey, and to get to this place, we've been lucky, extremely lucky. And Billy Woodruff was someone I've known socially for a couple of years, and we've seen each other socially out all the time. And I actually had another director attached to this project, and he ended up dropping out. And so I was looking for my next director. And a friend had mentioned Billy, and it was funny. I just ran into him at another screening. And when I brought this to him, he immediately was like, yeah, because this is fresh material, and this is something that you don't usually see. And there was no question for him. He was like, yes, I'm in. There wasn't any strategy other than I was like, I'm just going to send this to him and see how he, you know, responds. And he responded. Like, you know what I mean? It worked out really well to have a director attached, but it's one thing to have a director who's, you know, into the work, you know?
Right.
Been gritty with you, and he's definitely that.
Awesome. So tell me why you made the choice, because at this point, we've become accustomed to having really awesome shows come across our computer screens through the webisodes. Why are you deciding to take this feature film and filter it to us in the exact same way? What's your thought process behind that?
Yeah, so it's interesting that actually the idea of it backwards, per se. And I'm glad you brought this up, because some people are confused. They're like, it's a film and a web series? What's going on? So ideally, The Other Side of Love was written as a web series. I can't tell you why I decided to do it as that, but when I wrote it, it was episodic. And a story that was told in different episodes. And I attracted to the idea of web because of the idea that people can watch and immediately comment. The content was there, and I can, within minutes, be in communication with the people who are watching it. And that really excited me. So what we're doing is we're taking the content, which is episodic, string it all together as a feature film. And then as a feature film, then we're going to then distribute it to cable or other places as a feature. I hope that makes sense. So the same content, but we're also going to be, we're going to put it in two different forms.
Okay. I think that's smart. I think that's smart and really innovative. I'm excited to see what it turns into. And you've also opted to use the Kickstarter website as a platform to help get funding for the project. Can you talk a little bit about, because I think it's very creative the way you guys have gone about organizing the Kickstarter donors and what they receive if they donate to the project. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. The one thing that I really loved about Kickstarter, still love about Kickstarter, is the idea that not only are you, you know, you're raising money, but what the most important thing that you're doing is you're raising a community of people, and these people are going to follow you through the process, and they're your fans, and they're doing it with you. So for us, it wasn't necessarily about just creating these ways of people to give us money, but how to create ways for people to be in the process with us. So see, you know, our first tiers are about people getting, you know, our soundtrack and about getting, you know, a download of our first episode. But our tiers for $30 and $50 are creating a film community and being able to create and allow people to be in this process with us. And so that you're able to have access to a members-only website, and then you're going to be able to vote on everything that's important to making this film. So from being able to look at audition tapes and deciding which actors we should choose, to looking at wardrobe choices and saying, should Charlie wear this in the scene or wear this in the scene? And then we're also going to be the opportunity to listen, hear different music choices, and you guys being able to say what you like and what you don't like. So I'm excited about that, because not only are you donating to a project that you want to see being made, but you're actually having a voice in every step of the way. And I think that's really great. If I had ever thought, I would definitely do it, because who doesn't want to see how their favorite film is made?
Right. The final day to donate is November 29th, correct?
Yes. I did this on purpose, Kim, but it's my birthday.
Hey!
We hope I have a great birthday this year.
Oh, I believe you will. So, listeners, the clock is ticking, and this is the countdown. We are talking to Erica Muse about The Other Side of Love, an interesting take on relationships and marriage. And something, a different type of story that we know our community is definitely hungry for. And thankfully, I'm so grateful, Erica, to writers like you that are taking the chance and going about finding funding your own way to tell these stories. So can you give us, as we wrap, where our listeners can find you, where they can find more information about The Other Side of Love, if they want to contact you with questions, how can they reach you?
Yeah, so the easiest way of getting everything you need to know about this film is on our website, which is theothersideoflove.com. So that you go to that, you get a Tumblr page, which is then going to tell you about our Twitter page, which the Twitter is theothersideoflove. L-U-V, that's T-H-E-O-C-H-E-R-S-I-D-E-L-U-V. That's where we're at Twitter. And our Facebook is Facebook/The Other Side of Love. And did I give you everything?
I think so.
Starter page, which is extremely a long URL.
But we'll put the link in there.
Yeah, go to Kickstarter and you put in Other Side of Love and you put in Erica Muse, you will find us. But more importantly, if you go to our website, theothersideoflove.com, you will find everything that you need.
Thank you. Erica, thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
To add one thing, if it's possible, is that I think for me, this is really important because we don't get to see ethnic, multi-ethnic characters and interesting and dynamic stories and characters as often as we should. And I think more than anything, we have different stories to be told, and we all have different lifestyles and different ways of living that are not all the same. So that's just, I think it's extremely important. If we start to see these different sides of us, then other people will realize, oh, they're not all the same.
Exactly. So,
important to me as well.
Exactly. I would agree. I would absolutely agree. We thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
Thank you so much for support and love.
Of course. And we are looking forward to this project. Again, you guys, one more time, The Other Side of Love. Don't forget it. Remember it. Google it. Check it out. And more than anything, support it. Support it.